Good morning. It's been a while since I've offered one of these scripture reflections. I was away from the parish last week, making my annual retreat. However, this morning's first reading from Acts is a delightful and thought-provoking way to reconnect with you. The colorful account of Philip and the Ethiopian shows St. Luke at his storytelling best. If you haven't had a chance to read it yet, I encourage you to go back and do so. The story is chock full of images that are both amusing and thrilling. There's the Apostle Philip being teleported by the Holy Spirit. Fancifully, I envision God reaching down from heaven, plucking Philip by his lanky locks, and whisking him through the atmosphere. There's also that mysterious Ethiopian sitting in his chariot, puzzling over the scriptures, while his driver hurtles down the desert highway. There's the comical image of Philip hustling to catch up to the chariot and politely initiating conversation while still running along outside. There's the unexpected image of the two of them plunging into a pool of water for the Ethiopian's baptism. By the way, how did a pool of water suddenly materialize in the desert? And finally, there's that parting image of Philip being miraculously whisked away again for his next assignment in Azotus, the modern-day Israeli port city, Ashdod. At first reading, this encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian marks a dramatic development in the story being told by St. Luke in the Acts of the Apostles. If you have been reading these past couple of weeks, you know that after the crucifixion, the apostles locked themselves away in the upper room out of an abundance of caution, as we're wont to say today. Not for any fear of any virus, but for fear that somehow they might suffer the same fate as Jesus. Even after Jesus appeared to them on Easter night, we discover them still too frightened to venture forth a whole week later when Jesus appears a second time. Finally, after much cajoling, Jesus prods the apostles to abandon their shelter and to get on with the mission of preaching the good news. He says to them, "You shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth." And so, tentatively, they relinquish their hideaway and approach the temple area where they unexpectedly find the courage to preach. Their success there inspires them to spread throughout the whole city of Jerusalem and into Judea. And then, as we heard in yesterday's reading, after several months in those familiar Jewish environs, with a leap of faith, they hazard into the somewhat hostile area of Samaria. It seems as if Jesus' prediction about the inexorable spread of the gospel is at last coming true. Today's reading about the Ethiopian initiates the final stage, preaching the gospel to the ends of the earth. Well, that's at least one interpretation of today's reading and of the Acts of the Apostles in general, the unstoppable geographic extension of the gospel. That interpretation, by the way, was a significant motivation for the Church's modern missionary efforts, and especially of missionary orders like Maryknoll. However, there is an alternative interpretation that's worth exploring. It's not a contrary interpretation, but a complementary one, and it has to do not with the exotic nationality of the Ethiopian, but with his physical condition and sexual status as a eunuch. Almost certainly, this African diplomat was a God-fearer. That's a technical term for Gentiles who sympathized with Judaism and yearned for a closer association with that religion. God-fearers observed certain Jewish religious rites and traditions without necessarily becoming full converts. After all, circumcision must have been a considerable deterrent, at least for adult men. Nevertheless, even among those who wished to convert, not all were eligible. That was the case for the Ethiopian official. You see, in ancient Israel, there were certain physical conditions that rendered a person ineligible for admission to worship. Among them, leprosy, menstruation, and contact with a corpse. Somehow, these conditions were seen to compromise God's ineffable holiness. Some conditions, like menstruation, were temporary. Others, however, meant permanent exclusion. A regulation dating from the time of Moses specifically prohibited anyone whose testicles are crushed from entering the worshiping community. Deuteronomy 23, verse 1. We find, however, that God rejected such small-minded literalism. Through the prophet Isaiah, God declares, "Let not the foreigner who has united himself to me say, 'The Lord will surely separate me from his people.' And let not the eunuch say, 'Behold, I am a dry tree.' For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls," that's the temple, by the way, "a monument and a name even better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name which shall never be cut off." Isaiah chapter 56, verses 3 to 8. In other words, what's important to God is not nationality or physical condition or sexual status. What's important is sincerity of heart and a firm desire to live out God's dream for the world. For Christians, that means striving to have the heart of Jesus in our daily activities and relations with others. It means a firm desire to love and serve and forgive others as Jesus taught us by word and example. So, the alternative interpretation of this encounter between Philip and the Ethiopian is not only to acknowledge God's vision of inclusivity, but to make it an essential characteristic of our church. By essential characteristic, I mean not only admitting to worship those who have felt excluded because of gender, sexual orientation, marital status, or physical ability. I mean admission to authentic participation by everyone into the full ministry of the gospel. Only when we emulate God's desire for genuine and welcoming inclusion will we truly be Jesus' faithful witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and even to the ends of the earth. May God bless you and give you health.